Father, we're grateful to be here today and to bring together all these dear sheep and your people and our friends and loved ones. And we ask now that you'll bless this fellowship together today to your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Well, again, I feel very compelled to share with you the experiences that we go through on a regular basis. There's an excellent text in Philippians 1, verse 6, which is not out of context. You know, you can take a lot of verses out of context, and they may seem like very nice verses, but they don't really really fit the situation. This text goes right along with the biblical structure of our life with Christ. And that is being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The word confidence there is a perfect tense and means an established thing. He has an established confidence there. It's not something that comes and goes. Feelings in the flesh do come and go. Depending on your makeup, perhaps a lot of it has to do with genes. The Lord gives us some of us the qualities and gifts that we need to do our work, even in terms of feelings. So, for example, one of our major carriers went down this week. I fly U.S. Air. I've flown them 3 or 4 times a week for years. I would get back on the plane today if I could get these legs shaped up and go. It doesn't bother me, but that's a gift. And needed for my particular kind of work. So what I'm trying to get at is feelings are very complex and are for a good part of it has to do with genes, whether you have the capability of facing anxieties and so forth. These things are genetic. But on the other hand, they do not have to do with the flow of the Spirit within. In Hebrews 11, it speaks of those who didn't really make the goal that they were set out for, but it says about them that they being strong in spirit, giving glory to God, see. So we have a strength in our spirits that is not connected to the flesh. So when Paul says, I'm confident of this, he's not speaking of his own personal feelings about things. That comes from another source, from the Spirit. So he can say that with confidence. And he's talking about the general run-of-the-mill believers whom he is writing to, the Philippians and to the Ephesians and the Galatians and other people whom he had his problems with, and yet basically had a certain amount of confidence. Now, for example, with the Ephesians, you remember that he had problems with them, and he spoke rather straightforward about some of these things, what they were doing, which were not salutary. And yet at the end, this is really crucial, at the end, he asks these same people to pray for him. It's an amazing thing, because in spite of all of their human foibles and follies, he felt that they were in a position to pray anyway, and not only to pray for him, but to pray for the crucial point that he would have authority to speak to the world at large. Now, that may seem a strange thing, to pray for authority, but you must remember that he was cutting across the cultural lines of the whole Greek civilization and the Roman civilization, and more particularly across the lines of the Jewish culture. And the question is, where does he get his authority? Well, for us in today's world, for myself, for example, I can always revert to the Scripture as an authority, and I don't take authority in anything that I can't establish in the Scripture. But Paul didn't have that. He had the Old Testament, but he didn't have the New Testament with which to validate his ministry. So it was necessary then that the Spirit of Christ would validate it for him. As he spoke, it would speak to the hearts of the people that he was talking to. those who were prepared, those who were ready to hear it. Paul needed that authority, and yet he was going to the Ephesian people, not to some hotshots, you know, not to some superstar spiritual players, but to the ordinary people. And I go that way myself. I feel very, very confident in your prayers, and I feel continually sustained by them in the Spirit, so that we don't really have to face too much in the way of discouragement, or we're not disheartened or discouraged. Of course, no questioning, why me, Lord? That's an idiotic thing, as I will explain to you shortly, to say, why me? We don't have to worry about guilt feelings, must be something I've done wrong. All of that is out of sync. It's not necessary at all. And this verse is a marvelous one for the trail. The verse, that's your trail mix. Being confident that he which hath begun in you a good work. In the first place, he's begun it in us. The Greek word enarcho means to begin in. He who has begun in us a good work. Meaning that the focus is on what he's doing within. And secondly, it nails down the meaning of good work. See, in Ephesians 2, Paul says, we were called unto good works that God hath ordained that we should walk in them. And people normally think that means good deeds, but that isn't what it means at all. Same meaning Paul has here. The good work that he's doing in us. He hath begun in you a good work. And Jesus said that, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who sent me. So, the Spirit of Christ is working in us. Understand that from the beginning. And he is working in us until the day of Jesus Christ, which means that he is on the trail with us. Understand that. Christ is on the trail with you. Now, he takes us over some pretty rough roads sometimes, and some of us rougher than others. When I look at this whole affair, this illness or debilitation or whatever you want to call it, I see it as a great challenge. It's like scaling a cliff. If you've ever done any heavy-duty cliff hanging or climbing or scaling, you know that you're not out there in the same way that you are when you're trampling through the meadow on a nice spring day and smelling the flowers. You know, you're hanging on the side of that cliff, and it is tough. You can imagine if you're halfway up Everest and you got a blizzard coming, which some of these fellows have had to face, you're not out there roasting marshmallows, you know. You think, oh good, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. That's not Sir Edmund Hillary. I doubt if he had that along with him. Did he take his marshmallows with him? No, I mean, it's tough and very perilous. And they were always in danger when they got up in the rough going of, you know, just total destruction. But that didn't deter them. They regarded it as a challenge, and they went up piton over piton. You know what a piton is, of course. I suppose most of you are familiar with it, that spike you drive into the crevices you can find and hook your ropes to them, you see. And so you get one fix, and then you have to reach for the next one, and you do it piton over piton, and that's the way you go up the cliff. But the constant recommendation is that you don't look down and you don't look up too much. You know, you focus on where you're going to drive that next piton, and that's the way this is. You're going up hand over hand, piton over piton, and you go up a day at a time. But it's a challenge. It's a wonderful challenge. Not because it's fun. You understand, I'm not saying it's fun. It's a challenge. And you take it from the Lord. You see what a difference that makes? If you take it from the Lord, instead of taking it as something from Satan, which it probably ultimately might be, but allowed by the Lord, but you just take it from the Lord, and he's on the trail with you. And or on the cliff with you have his rope, Understand, the rope is connected to Christ. He's on the other end of the rope. He can't fall. No, but isn't that what the Scripture says? Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That's your rope. Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, not flawless, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And you say, well, I'm not skipping around very much. Well, neither am I. I understand that. But Jesus used the same word, chara, on the way to the cross. You imagine this here, the disciples are, he's on the way to the cross, but he says, I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So what if I said to you, I just wish all of you could have the joy that I have? Now you might think that's a little nuts, but then you would not be too surprised. but it isn't joy in the sense of bliss. We're not giddy about it. But in the sense of chara, which has to do with the flow of divine benevolence. You feel like you're in the river of God's grace. In fact, the word grace is on the same root as chara. Charis and chara, same root. And you have his grace, and you're in the river of that grace. And you can say that. I can say that if you understand what I mean by joy. I can say to you that I hope that you can have without the same circumstances. I don't think Jesus wanted everybody to have to hang on a cross, but you can have the same peace. See, that's what I've tried to convey to you for years and years and years, that you can have this peace in your spirit in spite of the devastation of the flesh. You can feel bad if you want to. I've always given you liberty to feel bad without feeling that you're cut off from the Lord or that you don't have faith. I hear some of these giddy goons on television, and I won't tell you what I would like to do, because you might feel I was less than noble, but they're hurting the people. They're misguiding them and giving them the sense that if they're not having a picnic on the side of Mount Everest, that they don't have any faith. That's idiotic. And I want you to all feel that. Because I may tend to just overlook your faults too much. I think you're all great, wonderful people. Very, very special to me. And I don't have too much focus on anything that might be negative about you. I don't know if you have anything negative in you. But we're behind you 100%. And I know that you're behind us. We don't have any faults. We are faultless in the sense that we are blameless. But we're not flawless. Keep that always in your mind. But it's all right. I don't mean it's okay to go out and sin, but if you do, you pay the bill. Be sure you got enough money with you. Remember I've said it's like going to a restaurant where they don't print the prices on the menu. You better have plenty of cash or a pretty good credit card. Well, see, Satan doesn't present the bill till after it's over. Now you got to pay the bill, and sometimes it's pretty steep. So you keep that in your mind, but that doesn't mean the Lord's going to abandon you. You understand? It doesn't mean he likes what you do, or thinks it's all right, but he thinks you're all right. Because you're on the other end of the rope. He's got you on the rope. Not on the ropes, but on his rope. In that vein, Paul says to the Romans, can you imagine that? To the Romans, he says, he was confident that they were filled with all goodness. I'm confident in you that you are filled with all goodness. We'll be dealing with that in the next issue of the Messenger, which has to do with, the translation is very, very limited, very weak. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. You'll find out when you get the Messenger that those are very, very weak translations. Because the word For long-suffering is makrothumia. Now, thumia comes from thuo, which means sacrifice. I'll go into that more particularly in the Messenger. Macro means intensive. Macro, you see, like macroeconomics versus microeconomics means the overview versus the local view of economics. Or maybe you've seen the word macrocosm versus microcosm. The microcosm is the little world around us. The macrocosm is the big picture. So, well, we'll look into that. But then the word goodness appears. Agathosune. It only occurs a few times in the New Testament. But Paul says that is a fruit of the Spirit. Goodness. You are all full of goodness. Do you know that? You may not believe it, but that's true. You're full of goodness because you're full of the Spirit of Christ. Or you wouldn't be here. If you didn't have the Spirit of Christ, then you wouldn't be here. You might be in some cathedral where you get tickled by the ivories on the organ, and you might enjoy that. That's great music sometimes in these cathedrals, and you might enjoy the singing, and you might enjoy a lot of things. Why do you come here? Well, the Spirit brings you here because you want to... Why? Because you're looking for Christ. That's what you're looking for. And that's what you're getting here. And so, it's the Spirit in you that draws you to this. Some people have the idea that Paul in Romans 7 was not saved at that point. Now, that's an idiotic thing, too, because he said, in my flesh there dwells no good thing. And they said, well, he couldn't be saved then. No, that's not true at all. He said, in my flesh is no good thing. But he goes on to say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. How could he say that if he didn't have the Spirit? So he puts himself right in your category, and mine, of course, obviously, that we don't have a whole lot going for us in the flesh, but we are filled with all goodness in the Spirit. Agathosune, if you boys want to know the Greek word there. Full of all goodness. For now, he is going to perfect or consummate what concerns us. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. The Greek is epiteleo, which means to bring to consummation. He's going to get you to the top of Everest, believe it or not. And even if he has to tie you onto his rope and pull you up there, he's going to get you to the top of Everest, believe me. You have a lot of problems, maybe, and that's life. Life is full of problems, and you may feel bad. Thank God you're welcome to come here and feel bad if you want to. Not feel like you're not in the group or that you're not very spiritual. You can be just as spiritual even if you're feeling bad or have bad feelings about anyone. But you're just people on the journey, on the odyssey, going up the side of the cliff. And you're going up wherever the Lord thinks you can handle it. You may not have to do what I have to do. Probably not. And I guess we've been broken in a little bit more, or broken up. It's not a phony thing. It's not an outward thing. Mostly people don't know very much what goes on inside, probably of anyone, much less of myself. You don't know what goes on inside there. But the Spirit is strong and is sustained day by day. I can pass it on to you because it doesn't require anything special, right? Doesn't require anything special. They have a business expo going on down there somewhere. Maybe it's over now. And people go down there happily with a few $1,000 to invest in some scheme. And they think, oh, it's great to work for oneself, isn't it? How nice to have our one's own business. They don't have the slightest idea of what it means to operate a business. But nobody ever speaks of the tax structure or the business structure or any of those things, but they've got a few $1,000 to invest in somebody's happy scheme. But of course, the big sales point on all of them is you don't need any equipment special. Well, you need their stuff, but you don't need any special skill. Well, from what I've seen of most businesses, that's usually the way they get in anyway. They don't have any skill. Well, anyway, so the point is that's usually a scam, you see, but you don't need any special skill. Well, I can tell you about the faith. You don't need any special skills. You don't need any special spirituality. You don't need to be a specialist in the Bible or a specialist in anything. You need only to be a people. You're a widow people. You belong to Christ. And if you've never had any experience mountain climbing, He'll tie His rope around your waist and drag you up anyways. If you have a problem today, you probably have a raft of problems, but not to worry, see? At least they can't put you in debtor's prison, you know, anymore. But, no, you have problems. We all have problems. But to understand that you still belong to Christ, that's the big one. That's the big one. To know, for example, if you've made a mistake of some kind, to know that the people around you are with you and for you and forgive you and all the rest of it. That's a wonderful thing. If you know the people around you are with you, even though you've made your mistake. To know you're still a member of the team. Some of these baseball players and football, when you see a guy in the last 60 seconds of the game where he's 1 yard from a touchdown and he gets the last play and he gets the ball right in his gut and he drops it, that would feel bad. But it would be nice if he could know that he's still a member of the team, you know. Did you ever fumble a ball? Do you think any of you in your lifetime ever fumbled a ball? Well, most of you probably haven't. But if you ever fumbled a ball, I've fumbled a ball. It's so great to know you're still on the team. So great to know you're still on the climb with Christ. He's in you and with you and He's going to bring you to the conclusion. And that's the firm word of Scripture here. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun in you a good work. Now remember, He's already begun it or you wouldn't be here. He who has begun in you a good work will consummate it, perform it unto consummation. Epitaleo, if you want to look that up, Ed. It will perform it unto consummation until the day of Jesus Christ. You slip and slide and tumble and skin your nose and all the rest of it, but here you are. See, I remember when I was a youth, I got into a lot of things. One of the things I did was to throw a hose over the lower limb of a tree and shinny up the hose. I threw it over and looped it, and about the thing must have been about 10 feet off the ground. And I was a little shaver. And I hadn't put any blades in the razor yet, but I was a little shaker. So I'm shinning up the rope. I got up to the branch. The branch broke. And I went plummeting down. Strangely enough, I hit my nose. I went head first. That's why the nose is a little bent. I think I never realized my nose was bent until I saw it one day recently. How come it didn't get splattered? I don't know, but it was. I guess the Lord was with me. I've had a number of those kinds of escapades in my lifetime, and the fact that I'm here shows that the Lord was with me. But, you know, you plummet down, you land in your nose, and you get back up again. You're all with Christ. Rejoice. You feel bad? Fine. Don't worry about it. Not to worry if you feel bad. You have problems? Not to worry. Pay your bills, whatever you can do, but anyway, you know that whatever you do, the Spirit of Christ is still with you. And you can know this. If He weren't, you wouldn't care, you see? You want Him with you. The fact that you want Christ to be with you, want to be on the team, is the guarantee that His Spirit is in you. So I take this whole episode. They tell me I've got about 3 more weeks of these radiology or radiation treatments, so they're buzzing me up good. I probably can read by the light of my nose when I get through with it. Remember, I'm scaling the cliff, right? Piton over piton, we're scaling the cliff. We're not saying, oh, God, why? You know, that's idiotic. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge. Glad He thinks I can do it. Well, I can't do it. His Spirit has to do it. But He keeps us sustained. And your prayers sustain me. Believe me, I depend on Him. And I feel up in the harness every day. Not always physically great. I have to say to you, there are downsides, but we're going on and we're hanging in there. So anyway, thank you for your prayers, and you take this verse and write it on a card and stick it over your desk or something, and know that you're still part of the team, however you screw up. It's all right. All right. You can be in this outfit and be human. Isn't that nice? You don't have to be spiritual. You just have to be human. Well, we leave it to the Lord to be spiritual for you. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for some words today that we've been able to share, and we ask that the Spirit will give to each one here the peace and the sense of your presence that they need. In Christ's name, amen.